As you take your seats, if you want to grab a Bible, whether you do that on an electronic device or your own, or if you'd like, there are Bibles in the chair racks. Today, we are completing the book of Revelation. Wow, you guys were awesome with that. Revelation chapter 22, last page of your Bible. Go there, and we're going to get to read and then think through what we have just sung about. That one was worthy to open the scroll. And is he worthy? And will he make all things new? And the answer is, yes, he will. So let's take a look at that. Revelation chapter 22, page 873. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of the scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." I told Kim I loved her the other day, and she said, "Oh, I know. You told me that when we got married 38 years ago. You don't need to tell me again." Do you believe that? We really like hearing, "I love you." Why? Because we like security. My son-in-law, who's a finance guy, helps me to manage our investments. And the question that you come across as you're working and looking at those things, will we have enough? Why? Because we like security. We like security. When we get ready to go to bed each night, Kim goes and checks the doors to make sure that they're locked. Why? Because we like security. We like security. There's quite a bit of the Bible that is written to help us be secure, to really know and be certain. That's true also of this very last chapter in the whole of God's Word. Here we learn about a secure residence, we learn about a secure return, and we learn about a secure reward. A secure return, reward, and residence, return, and reward. Let's look first at that secure residence. We actually continue here in chapter 22 the tour that John was on by the angel of the new heaven and the new earth. So it's actually a continuation from chapter 21, but it moves us into this idea of seeing all things made new. So as we continue in that tour of the new heaven, look at what we are told. There's a river of water whose life's origin is the throne of God and the Lamb. Notice, we don't have to depend upon rain. All the farmers went, yay! Right? I mean, think about the security of that. It just flows from the throne secure. And then imagine a tree. Seems that most interpreters would say it must be that in verse 2 that there really are trees on each side of the river, that it's in the plural, and that that bears fruit every month. That's fruitful living, isn't it? With that kind of a crop, imagine that. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Now we might ask, why is the nation needing to be healed? I thought this place was all new. But understand that we believe our healing and our health both come from God. It isn't that they need healing again. It is that they continue to know health for all eternity. The leaves provide that. And then verse 3 goes on. The curse is gone. Here we are being told of the reversal of the Genesis 3 curse. Adam and Eve, they sinned, right? And not only were they cursed, but the earth was cursed. The earth was corrupted. Now it will be made anew. The curse is gone. That's security. We have a meaningful work in this place. Notice, his servants will serve him. And, you know, what a delight and a joy to get to work and be involved in meaningful stuff to honor and glorify God. It gives us a sense of security to be able to do that. We'll truly be known. It says we'll see his face. We'll get to just, I mean, don't you wish a lot of times God would just show up and tell you what to do? Really. Like, what should I say to in this situation right now? Face to face. We'll be seeing him face to face. And then not only will we have that security, but notice that we'll be known and known as we have our identity in him and his name right on us. No more insecurity. Oh, we've all dealt with insecurity. You who are in middle school, it isn't just you. It's us. But no more we will be secure. Verse 4, we get to see his face. His name will be on our foreheads. This idea of intimacy again. Our fears will be gone. There will be no more dark alleys. What a secure residence this will be. There won't be any bad neighborhoods. There won't be any on the other side of town kind of idea. It will be secure. Verse 5, no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun. Here is this idea of an absolute sense of knowing, perpetual security. There is an organization, I didn't know this till I did some research about this, the National Institute on Retirement. And they are calling it, which I'm sure is not them alone, it's called the retirement crisis. As the baby boomer generation moves into retirement, that's what they're saying is going on, that there are many who are approaching retirement age who are ill-prepared for that. Their research shows an overwhelming lack of security among American workers as to be prepared for retirement. I mean, look at the amounts that people have, or if you will, have not saved. It says median balance counting all households of retirement savings is $3,000. and those who are near retirement only $12,000. That would create some insecurity if that's the state that we're at. So we look at that and we say 4 out of 5 account balances are less than the time 1 year's income, and that's for those who are approaching retirement. That is a insecure position to be in. Now, I'm not going to give you financial advice, although that might be a good idea. But here's what I am saying is, even if you're going to really get to retire young and you're going to live old, I mean, how many years are you going to be retired? 30? Maybe 40? Okay, you should work on getting prepared for that. It's a good idea. But what about for 3,000 or 30,000 or 40,000 years? Do you think you should prepare for that? I think it'd be a good idea. And that's what this is telling us. Do you realize there is a residence where you will never have to worry about enough? It is secure. It will absolutely. The government can't even take it away from you. They can't even tax it. There is our security. And those longings, those nervousness, ideas, those things that compressing in on you. What about this? They're going to continue to be there in this life. Not in that one. Are we preparing for that place? That's the deep longing of our hearts. That's what those drives are really all about. We know they will never be fully satisfied here, will they? They cannot be. They tell us that there is a place one day where we will know a secure residence. But we have, in order to get us there, a secure return promised to us. 3 times in this chapter, Jesus says, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. In verse 7, in verse 12, and in verse 20, he repeats it 3 times. I am coming soon. Now, there's an immediate problem when you read that, isn't there? When did he say that? It was like 2,000 years ago. I don't know about you, but in my mind, that's not soon, right? So we have this whole conundrum of how do we deal with the word soon? Well, oftentimes that word is translated very different. We tend to translate it soon here, but for instance, many times it's translated quickly. For example, it is used in Matthew 28:8, same word, and it says of the women at the tomb, so the women hurried away from the tomb. They soon went away from the tomb. Sounds a little bit weird there, but that's the same word. When I come, it will be a hurry. It will be hurried. You will have but a blink of an eye, less than a blink of an eye when I come. It is that his coming will be sudden. It will happen just like that. He's warning us. He's telling us. He's encouraging us to be prepared as he often did. Notice what Jesus said in one of the longest passages of Jesus speaking, answering the disciples' question, when will this kingdom come? Here's a part of his answer. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And he's saying, you do not know. So be ready at all times, because when I come, it will be soon. It will be sudden. It'll be less than a blink of an eye. And that's why John is told in verse 10, do not seal up this scroll. Everybody needs to know this, that when Jesus comes, you are sealed for those 30,000 years in the same state that you were in at that moment. If you were giving yourselves to evil, you will be locked into evil by your choice for all eternity. If when he comes, you are doing good, you are living in a holy life, you are in a right relationship with Jesus, you will be sealed for all eternity in that state. He is warning us and telling us, be ready. Notice verse 11. It says, those who do wrong and those who do right, they will be in that state. The ones who are doing wrong, not trusting in Christ, not believing in this gift, thinking that they have more time to be able to get this taken care of later. All eternity, they will be sealed in that state by that choice. Those who continue to do right, they will be sealed in that state for all eternity. We need to prepare for the secure return. And so he told us, be patient, but wait. Be patient, But wait, with a sense of expectation, because the return is secure. There was a maiden who received a promise from her beloved, her betrothed fiancé, who must presently sail away, that he would soon return to claim her as his cherished bride. Sail away he did. But upon the expected day of his return, night after night, she went down to the beach and kindled a beacon fire on the beach, longing for his return. First it was days she set that fire, and then it was weeks. Soon, months transpired, and before long, it was years that she had been putting this fire, beacon fire, down on the beach every night, and she became the laughingstock of everyone in her village. Here she was, building that, but then suddenly one dark, dark night, through the mist, suddenly, riding the last waves to the shore, her beloved leapt out of the boat, came, took her in his arms, and no one was laughing at her anymore, for her bridegroom had returned, and her bridegroom was then crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, was the wait worth it? Oh, was her longing fulfilled? Oh, was her faith met with the fullness of joy? Do not be despairing in your waiting. When he said soon, the generations from that day to this have been wondering, why not today? Do not grow weary in doing good. It is a secure return, and it will be glorious. Will there be those who laugh at you for longing for that day in this day? Of course they will, because they are children of darkness. We are the children of light who have trusted in Christ. And for that light that has no more darkness, we long. That's what we look for. That's what we hope in. That is the place of security. So we have a secure residence, we have a secure return, and we have a secure reward. Did any of you ever get called to the principal's office and are willing to admit it? What for? They don't want to tell. Is that right? You're not really interested in telling that? How many of you ever got called to the principal's office for something good? Do you notice where we go, when? I mean, maybe the principal called you to the office to give you a reward, right? Hey, Gary, you won this award. I don't know about you, but I didn't think that was going to happen. When I asked the question about did you get called to the principal's office, where did your mind go? Trouble, right? When we read through this book, we have seen judgment show up over and over and over again, and it certainly has, because that's what's going to take place at the end of days. We have read a lot about God and Jesus as the coming judge, but he judges the good too. Notice verse 12. Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Now, you need to grab hold of something very practical, but it's something that we tend to forget and misunderstand. Salvation is absolutely by grace. You get your name written in the book of life over and over again, we've been told, by the fact of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Believing in that, receiving it by faith, you will live eternally. But rewards are earned. The Bible talks about that all the time, over and over and over again. It tries to get you and me to understand that you should not build for all of this stuff in this life, and that's where all your hope is, because it's all going to be added to one great big bonfire at the end. Everything, every single thing on this earth is going to be put in a bonfire, rather to be earning rewards that will last for the next 40,000 years. Why would you invest in something that will last 80 or 90 years, but you're going to ignore something that will last for 40,000 years? It's not a good investment. Are you investing in Christ's kingdom and winning those rewards so that when you're called before the throne, your rewards will be great? If someone has convinced you that you will not be rewarded for the good works that you do in advancing Christ's kingdom, you need to reread this and many other passages of the Bible. And understand that when we give you opportunity to volunteer here at church, to help build the kingdom, to give to those works all around the world, to keep all of this going, we are inviting you to a 40,000 year great investment opportunity. That's what we're inviting you to. You will be rewarded. Jesus said, "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." So you who are going to do children's church next service, way to go. No extra charge, Sarah. She loves it. Part of that reward is to be, notice, with him. Let's reread at verse 17. Enter into this whole idea of a secure reward. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, in other words, that you're going and trying to come up with another way to be good enough or something like that, then God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. You see, the testimony has been by the angels, and it has been by God throughout this book. But John also says, "I saw it. I saw it with my own two eyes. I'm telling you, I testify that this is true. It really is going to happen. And even though you've been kindling the fire on the beach every night for years, and you keep working, and you wonder if it's really going to be rewarded, it is a secure reward." The occasion was 1939. Europe is being thrown into another world war so shortly after a whole generation was wiped out in the First World War. And the agony and the weight of that was awful, bearing down on Britain and the whole of the European world. But the king was to do a Christmas Eve address. And here the British Commonwealth, he is to speak this, and it was one of the most listened radio broadcasts ever, as it had been a tradition since the radio had become invented. And in his closing remarks on this occasion of 1939, in his Christmas address, the King George VI closed with this poem in those difficult days for Britain and the world war that they were facing. It had been etched in the memory of those who heard it in that day, and especially those who were in positions of leadership along with him. "I said to the man at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may walk safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God, and it shall be to you better than the light and safer than the known.'" The hand of God. It shall be better than the light and safer than the known. As he spoke, his listeners were unaware that the king was dying of cancer. These words were to become an anchor in his own time of need, not just for the world's. Neither your service nor your suffering will be in vain. It will not be. A secure reward Have you grown weary in your well-doing? Have you been complacent in really investing in that which matters for eternity? Have you been giving yourself too much to things that will not matter in the end? There is a secure reward. Put your hand again in the hand of God. Trust Him for a sure reward, that He is the pinnacle of that reward. It isn't just about the stuff and the streets of gold that will be of naught, but seeing Him face to face, knowing God, should be but a step, and I hope that it will be for all of us, just from one knowing to a different knowing as we transition from this life to the next, trusting Him, living in Him. We like security. To feel and know that we are secure is a strong desire. And there is a coming place that will be secure beyond imagining. Is your hope there? Is that your real home? Is that the increasing longing in the depth of your heart? Not this home. Not this stuff that I have. Not these things, though all of those can be good. But that residence is my true residence. Jesus had assured us time and time again that He will return. And when His return happens, it will be sudden. It could be this moment. And that means today, now, is the opportunity of being sure that we are right with Jesus. So that as we pass from here to there, it will be but one step on a continued journey. If that's not where you're at today, change it. Don't continue in that state. Trust Him. He says He will return. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Do not grow weary in your good works. We have a secure reward. He will remember. And I close with the almost last four words from the book. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You. What a glorious reminder. Refresh it in the depths of our souls. Not just the words, but the heart. Help us build the fire again. Help us wait with expectation for the bridegroom. Let us be a church resilient in our service and our dedication, our commitment. And those who are weary, they have been working so hard. Would You restore them? Would You give them that inner sense that, yes, Jesus is worth it? Help them be wise. But give them encouragement. Help us to know of the sure reward. Father, thank You that we can continue to walk in that in faith. Would You help us to be more and more satisfied and delighting in Your glory? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.